For those of you who are visiting with us this evening, this is the second lesson, and I think it'll be a short series on peace. So the foundation was laid last week, and if you appreciate the lesson, you want to learn a little bit more about it, I would recommend that you get on the website and go ahead and download that lesson and listen to it. But we want to start with the basic concept that we spoke of last week, and that is that God wants peace to rule in our heart as an umpire. Basically what that means is that there are powerful emotions that we feel, guilt, remorse, sorrow, regret, and many other different emotions, anxiety and concerns about the future, concerns about the past, concerns about our salvation, concerns about the loss, especially our family members. And if we aren't careful, we can lose our sense of peace and our sense of joy that God has desired for us to have, because as I said last week, if we let this go too far, we become incapacitated. We can't do the work that we need to do because we're carrying this terrible weight. And so it's important that we learn how to let the peace of God rule as an umpire. The Greek word for umpire is the man in the game who stands between the two players and forces them to calm down or settle down and do what they're supposed to do. And as I pointed out last week, it's always amazing to watch these two huge football players and this little guy in a striped suit standing between them, and yet he has total control over that. And so the powerful emotions that we feel, the powerful emotions that can roil our lives and bring us into a serious situation where, again, as I said, some of us live in the past, some of us are so worried about the future, and we're not living in the present moment, which is where the peace of God does its work. And so we have to learn how to do that. Every book that Paul wrote begins with, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." So this is what God has sent to us through the gospel. Some of us have accepted it, some of us have not. Some of us are filled with joy. We talked this morning about those who are confident of their salvation, who are looking forward to dying and looking forward to going on. And then those of us who are still struggling with guilt and worry and concern and anxiety. What if I'm not good enough? What if I haven't done enough? What if those sins that I still commit, God's going to say on the judgment day, I just can't accept you. And so we have to learn how to deal with those things. We have to learn how to shut them down. We have to learn how to be not continually anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let our requests be made known to God. Because behind every worry, every concern, every anxiety, every regret is a request. Request for forgiveness. Request for power. Request for the ability to forgive ourselves, request for wisdom that we might do the things that are necessary. And Peter makes an even more interesting observation at the beginning of his book, and that is, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, of Jesus our Lord. And basically what this verse means is that the more we know about God and the more we know about Jesus, the more peace and grace are multiplied. Some of us struggle with that. I've talked with a lot of people through the years, and some people are wired more intellectually, and they don't even, some of you are probably sitting there listening to this lesson going, I don't see what the problem is, because some of us don't have those strong emotions that are pushing us to and fro. Other people are wired or are more emotionally oriented, and they deal with emotion. And some of us are more along that line. And those are more the people I'm going to be talking to this evening, as those of us who are struggling with those things, because the more knowledge we have, the more peace we should have. So, as we pointed out in our last slide last week, peace is a state of mind, which is based on our trust and our faith. And I really like this verse. It's one we ought to memorize. It's one that we ought to quote to ourselves from time to time. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. So here's where the arbitration or the decision that we have to make. We're thinking of all these emotions. We need to focus on God. We are concerned and anxious. We need to focus on God. All things work together for good to those who love God. I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. With good courage we can say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The promises of God are always yes. He will never deny himself. He's sworn with an oath, and he wants us to have strong assurance, and our hope is an anchor within the veil. The more of that we have, the more peace can rule. The more that we will have, the tools we will have when we go into this sense of anxiety. And then the second verse is, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. As we noted last week, this is a present active verb, which means, and it might be better translated, do not be continuously anxious, or be not continuously anxious for anything, but in everything, by continued prayer and continued supplication, with continued thanksgiving, let your continual requests be made known to God. There is no way, when you get that initial phone call that somebody you love is in the hospital, there's no way for you to say, oh, well, it's no problem, I'll just pray to God. No, there's anxiety. There's anxiety when certain things occur. But it shouldn't continue. The peace of God can bring that into submission and allow us to function, because sometimes we're so anxious we can't function properly. So if we don't have peace, we need to look at these two things. We need to look at our faith and our trust in God to do what he promises, and we need to look at our part, which is to ask and believe that he will do the things that we've asked him to do. Now, the conflict, I believe, that peace umpires is set forth by Paul, and I'm just going to look at these verses. For what I will to do, I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. Now, brethren, we like to say that after baptism that goes away, but it doesn't really go away. Now, the response goes away, but we still find ourselves from time to time, even after all these years, wanting to do and then realizing we didn't do it. Whether it's to know he who knows to do good and doeth it not, or whether it is a sin of commission, we can't keep our anger under control, we can't keep our covetousness under control, we can't keep our desires under control. For the good, chapter 7, verse 19, the good that I will to do, I do not. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? This is all solved when we're baptized, but some of us don't believe it. Some of us are not convinced that after we sin and sin and sin, that somehow a level comes where God is going to say, you know something, I am sick and tired of you doing the same things over and over and over again. And so we lose that sense of peace. We have guilt, we have regret, we have remorse, we have fear. And we have consequences. Consequences are sometimes the worst. You reap what you sow, and sometimes things in our lives can never be fixed because of decisions we make. And that is a real problem when it comes to peace, because you can't argue that away. And Paul was a real individual as far as that goes. So I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle. Notice the present tense here. This isn't something that Paul, he doesn't say, I was the least of the apostles, I was not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. It's in the present moment. His regret, we were talking, Kelly and I were talking about this moment, or this morning. He comes back to Jerusalem and he has to look into the eyes of people that he has persecuted, that he has thrown into prison, that he has killed their mothers or fathers or caused their brothers and sisters. He said, I strove exceedingly to make them blaspheme. That's a regret. How could you ever forgive yourself for causing people to lose their soul, causing people, he said, when they were put to death, I voted for it. And when Stephen was put to death, I was with that. I wanted that to happen. I'm the least of the apostles. Now, for most people, that would be enough to put them out of commission. The next verse, I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I was chief. No, I am chief. He never forgot. But again, he could say, rejoice with the Lord and the peace of God. He had a way of fixing that, and that's what we want to talk about in our lesson. But first of all, I want us to see that these are common things. We all struggle with these things. Even the apostle, one of the greatest men, had to struggle with it. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. In other words, that's for us. We're going to have regrets too. I think I told you about the woman in St. Louis who just agonized over the fact that she didn't become a Christian until she was in her 30s. Her children had already been raised, and she couldn't get her children to even look at the Lord or look at the church or have any interest in it at all. And she just was bitter over that. Not bitter in the sense of bitter, but bitterly regretting that she couldn't. And I had to talk with her several times because, again, it doesn't go away. And you look at your children and you think of what could have been if you could have done a better job. Some of us even were Christians, and we've seen that happen. And it's a bitter thing. It's a hard thing to go back over your life and say, I wish I'd have done this and I wish I'd have done that. And a lot of us, as a matter of fact, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us can do that. So the last verse there, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. So Paul had a lot for peace to be the umpire, because these are things that you can't, they come unbidden. They come into your mind unbidden. You don't want to think about them. You don't want to remember them. But as I say, you meet somebody, you see somebody, your kids call you and you see them in trouble and you wish you'd done this, or somebody, you know, that song in the songbook, you never mentioned him to me. Whenever somebody dies that we wanted to talk to, I don't know about you, there's a regret there. I wish I'd done more. I wish I'd had an opportunity to talk to them more. And maybe we're not fair with ourselves, but it's just what we do. So if you look at the yellow, we see the present tense. And if you you look at the things that Paul had to regret and Paul had to look at, and these were the difficulties that he had. Whoops, let me get that right here. So this is what peace has to umpire. We all feel these emotions: sin, fear, guilt, regret, anguish, remorse, and the consequences. Reaping what you have sown. If you say, well, I don't have those emotions, then the blessed are the poor in spirit, and the blessed are they that mourn. We need to reevaluate. We need to have these feelings. The grace of God does not remove this. When we sin against God, we've hurt him. And we've hurt ourselves, and we've hurt other people. And for us to say, la, 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 or oh, no big deal, Jesus died on the cross, I don't have any care or concern, that's not what the scriptures teach. It's not how Paul lived. And it's not how we should live. These are emotions that are going to come. But peace can arbitrate, leading to forgiveness, salvation, restoration, remission, blotted out, remembered no more, seasons of refreshing, and finally, peace with God. Now, sometimes it takes a lot of work, a lot of argumentation, a lot of mental reasoning to bring our minds. In other words, we have to control this, and we can. Now, those of us who are undisciplined, this is going to be a difficulty. Some of us will never have peace because we won't take the steps to let peace arbitrate or rule or umpire. And it's the scriptures are there. It's all there, and I want to lay some of that out this evening so that we can actually see what we can do and how we can argue and deal with this thing. Now, I think most of us remember the peace after baptism. The day we were baptized was probably for most of us the most wonderful day. It kind of went downhill from there for some of us, because we were forgiven, but then we started realizing how many things we needed to be forgiven for. And as we learned more and more about how terrible what we were doing was, it's a difficult thing. But this first verse, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this verse isn't talking about baptism. This verse is talking about our continued walk with God. But my point is, it all started when we were baptized. And for some of us, that was the most peaceful moment we ever had. Verse 2, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, everything we need for peace to arbitrate and rule and empire in our hearts is right here. And if we focus on these words, we are justified, not by works, but by faith. And we have peace with God because, as he's going to go on to say, if God would send his son, we were enemies. When we were at our very worst, if God would allow his son to die for us, when we were sinners and enemies, how much more, now that we've been reconciled, how much more does God want to help us than he did when we were, if God so loved the world, how much does he love his people? And that's what we, and again, those are mental musings. Those are the things you have to use to defend yourself when you find yourself in those kind of situations. But Peter said, repent and baptize, be baptized for the remission of your sins. Every sin we ever committed, we left behind when we came up out of the water of baptism. They were sent away. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, that your sins may be blotted out, and seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. So try to go back and remember that. Try to go back and remember those early days when you were still at your worst. I mean, think of it. We're so much better people now than we were when we were baptized. But because we know so much more, sometimes we have to struggle with the fact that we have become worse and worse the more we learn. And there's always a gap between what you know you should be doing and what you are doing. And that gap sometimes widens as we get older and older because we see so much more. And we realize, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, not that I've already obtained, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press on to the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. So we need to be looking at it in the same fashion. So the struggle begins. And it kind of flows like this. We ask for forgiveness. We feel comforted. We ask again and again and again. Pretty soon, you know, God must be tired of me coming to him all the time with all these different sins. It may not even be the same sin, but every night we're coming to God, every morning, throughout the day. Lord, I fell short here, I fell short there. And again, the more we know, the more often we're doing that. And we start thinking of to ourselves, I need to beat myself up. I'm not taking this seriously enough. The grace of God is making me happy, and I shouldn't be happy. The kind of guy I am, I shouldn't be happy at all. Jesus didn't die on the cross so I could keep sinning. We reason ourselves right out of peace. And we begin to fear grace because it makes it too easy. All I have to do is ask for forgiveness and it's gone. For some people, that becomes a licentiousness. That becomes a, well, I don't have to worry about it that much. And so we are afraid of that. And so what happens is that the guilt, the remorse, the anguish, and the fear, and we're trying to use our peace, but what happens is we're afraid of becoming licentious or not caring enough about our sins or being arrogant or allowing worldliness to take over. And it's basically like a pendulum. And you need to look, and I need to look, at where we are in that. The center point is peace. In other words, I've got the guilt, I've got the remorse, I've got the anguish, I've got the fear for just a few moments. I bring them to God. And I ask for forgiveness, and then I trust God, your sins I will remember no more. They're blotted out, they're removed, I don't have to worry about them anymore. I need to focus on the next battle. Can't be worried about the past, I have to focus on the next battle. And so, as we look at these things, excuse me a minute. Ooh, boy, that sounds terrible, doesn't it? Just run, nah, never mind, you don't care. All right. So this is a chart that I want you to remember, because as you go through your life, you're going to find yourself swinging back and forth and back and forth as old sins maybe rear up again, new sins we find out about, responsibilities and obligations we're not fulfilling to the degree that we know that we should, even though we're doing them so much better than we used to be able to do. What?
Your microphone fell off.
Oh. Okay.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I wondered, it sounded funny. All right. These two verses, we need to quote them sometimes, when you think about them sometimes. Seven times in a day. Now, that's not what God says he'll do for us. That's what he says we're supposed to do for others. Of course, if we're supposed to do it for others, then how's God going to be? Well, it's even more full. So if I sin seven times in a day, and I really don't think that's a number. Okay, there's one, there's two. Oh, it's past seven. Now I'm in trouble. No, that's not the purpose for this. The word seven in the language of the day was kind of a proverb or an idiom for completeness, for total completeness. And so when Peter says, how often do I have to forgive my brother seven times? Jesus said, if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day returns to you, but then more importantly, I do not say to you up to seven times, but 70 times seven, which is seven times 10 times seven, which are all numbers of completeness in the scriptures. So it's not a number and it's not a concept. It's limitless. Now for the rest of the lesson, I want to build a box. I want to build a box, and I want us to see that this box is what we have to keep ourselves in at all times, and if we stay within this box, we will have peace. So the first two things that we need to keep in mind is there's a line, the past, don't go back. Don't go back and look at it. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead is how Paul put it. And that's what he would have to do. Now, I'm not saying when he didn't see someone he persecuted or when he didn't think about himself, the regrets didn't come, but they need to be put aside. You just can't keep going over and over and over and over something that's in the past, because that's what the scriptures say in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Some of us are so laden with guilt, with remorse, with consequences, that we can't run. And the work that the Lord expects us to do and that we could be doing, we can't be doing because we're too focused on the past. The past is gone in the blood of Christ. And again, we know that. We don't go past baptism. Most of us don't think too much about what we did before baptism because we're convinced. But is it 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us? Isn't that enough? You will keep him in perfect peace because his heart is stayed on you because he trusts you. We have to trust. We all trust baptism, forgiveness of sins, remission of sins, sins washed away. But what about the verse that says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us? It doesn't say he's merciful and kind. He says he's faithful and just because that's what the blood of Jesus did. It put him in a position where he could be just and the justifier of the one who has his faith in Jesus. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 3, which is another verse. I didn't put it in here, but it's another verse that I use for the peace and the umpiring, where it says that Jesus Christ is the redemption, he's the purchase price, he's the propitiation, and we have no concerns about the past. So when we think about it, there's a line here, and once we've asked for forgiveness and we keep bringing it up, God's going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. I forgot that. I forgot that the first time you brought it up, and you keep bringing it up. And you keep carrying it, and you keep this burden, and you can't run, and you can't do the things that are done. Now, Paul could have done that. Paul could have said, you know something? I'm such a terrible person. I'm just going to sit in the back of the building, and I'm not going to do anything. Because I'm such a wretch that I don't deserve it. But that's not what he said. He said, I was, I am, and I'm less than the least. I'm less than the least of the apostles, less than the least of the saints. But he forgot what lay behind. He laid aside those weights. And what? The next day he's out preaching the Lord? Can you imagine how hard that would be to go there, to persecute the church, and then turn right around and start preaching that Jesus is the Christ? How hard that would be for those who were his friends? What's he doing? For those who were his enemies? What's he doing? When he comes to Jerusalem, they're all afraid of him. Barnabas has to come, bring him in. But, and Paul said, I'm a pattern. So you can't be worse than Paul. I mean, yeah, there's things in our past we wish weren't there. We've done some terrible things. I think about David sometimes and how he must have dealt with that for the rest of his life, being a murderer, an adulterer, a coveter. And here's a man after God's own heart. You can't imagine, I can't imagine, how painful that must have been, because he was in many respects so much better than a lot of us, which means he would feel so much worse for falling into that particular trap. So that's the first thing we have to do. Then, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So here's two more as we build this box. As we build this box of peace, we struggle. Forget what lies behind. I've got to quit doing this. God has forgiven me. There's consequences. I can't fix them. I've got to look toward the future. I have to lay aside these weights. If I keep the weights, I'm not bettering myself. Some of us feel that if we beat ourselves up somehow, that's going to make it better. We're not saved by works. No matter how much you beat yourself up, it's not going to forgive those sins. Those sins are forgiven because of the blood of Christ. And so we need to forget the past, lay aside the weights, protect ourselves with the statements that he's faithful and just to forgive, and that their sins I will remember no more. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, that's another area where a lot of us are struggling. We're afraid of the judgment day. We're afraid of what God might say because we haven't forgotten what lies behind. We haven't laid aside every weight. We don't really believe he's faithful and just to forgive us. And we're afraid he's going to remember our sins even though we've asked for forgiveness over and over and over and over again. So what is it? You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you and he trusts your words, and you have commanded him to forget what lies behind and to lay aside every weight. So remorse, regret, consequences, sin, guilt, they're gone. When you wake up in the morning, when you ask for forgiveness, here's what I do. I ask for forgiveness in the morning. I repent of every sin and ask for forgiveness for them. Then that night, I ask for forgiveness again. Now, at that point, we should forget, but I don't. Sometimes I carry over the next day, and that's why I've been thinking about, well, how can I stop doing that? And this is how we would have to stop doing that. We would have to live in the present moment and leave the past behind. So don't worry about tomorrow. So how do you get out of this box? I mean, this is the box of peace. Matter of fact, let me put this next. Peace is living in the present moment. In this present moment, I am forgiven. And God wants me to be with him in heaven. Now, my next decisions may not be good. They may be good. Doesn't matter. Because I'm living in the present moment, and I'm not supposed to worry about tomorrow. I'm supposed to live for today. If I'm living for today, I can have peace. I can have joy. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. But for some of us, the fruit of the Spirit is guilt and remorse and sorrow and consequences but the Holy Spirit didn't write the scriptures to produce that. And if we're allowing it to produce that, and again, we can, as I said in the very beginning, we're dealing with tremendous forces. The wages of sin is death. We can't forget that. As Paul said, what I want to do, I don't always do. And what I hate, sometimes I do. And the wages of that is death. And I've disappointed God, and I've crucified afresh the Son of God. I've put him in a position where he would have to die again and again and again for me. I hate to do that. But peace and grace is living in the present moment, taking care of the past. Like I said, often in the day, and I'm sure you do too, Father, forgive me for those sins I don't even know about yet. And help me to learn them so that I can get to work on them. I'm convinced that this is what God is looking for. None of us are going to be perfect when we die. None of us are going to know everything when we die. That's where the grace of God comes in. And that's what grace is for. Grace is to cover so that You know, Paul said this in Romans chapter, what is it, chapter 6. Sin can't have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You can break the power of sin at any moment. All we have to do is say, Father, forgive me, and that sin is broken. Its dominion is gone, and I'm free. I'm free from that sin. And yes, maybe in the next hour, it's going to be something else. And then I free myself from that sin. And maybe the next hour it's something else. But I'm living in the present moment. The blood of Christ is continually cleansing because I'm continually confessing. And once again, we have those present active verbs. If we are continually forgiving or confessing our sins, then He is faithful and just to continually forgive us our sins and to continually cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But they can't be separated. Some people want the continuous cleansing to be without the continuous confessing and the continuous repenting. You can't separate them. So living in the present moment, forgetting what lies behind, laying aside the weights and the sin that so easily... How do you lay aside the sin that so easily besets us? By asking for forgiveness. And then the perfect peace comes when our heart is stayed on God and we trust Him. He said, I'll forgive you. Yeah, but He didn't mean me. He never had a wretch like me before. And I know that I'm not worthy of all this stuff. Well, Paul was saying that 2,000 years ago, and he said, I'm the pattern, and if you think you're worse than me, you're wrong, because I'm the worst there ever was. For by grace you have been saved through faith. The entire fourth chapter of Romans is designed to help us understand that we're saved by faith, we're reckoned righteous by faith, not by deeds. We are unworthy of anything God has ever done for us. And that happened the first time we sinned. We could never remove that. Once we sinned the first time, and that's what I was trying to emphasize this morning at the table and during the lesson, is without the death of Christ, that first sin, we're doomed. There's nothing we can do. And we're just one heartbeat away from eternal condemnation. And I don't know about you, but that'd be a tough life to live. In fact, that'd be very unpleasant. I don't know, there wouldn't be any peace. But when we look at this verse, and as I say, grace is a very powerful thing, and therefore it's a very dangerous thing, and some of us are afraid to use it to its fullest potential because we're fearful that maybe it'll push us into a realm where we're not as repentant and we're not as grieved and we're not as crushed. And the point is, if you're living in the present moment, you are crushed and you are grieving. And you are, what is it, godly sorrow produces repentance and it produces fruits worthy of repentance. Then it's done. It's just like baptism. The moment I was baptized, everything before didn't matter anymore, and I knew that. Well, when I ask for forgiveness, I've got the same promise, and that's the peace, that's the umpire that I have to use. Forget what lies behind, lay aside the weights. He's faithful and just. He will remember our sins. Our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. And I am as saved after I've just asked for forgiveness as I ever was when I was baptized. And all that's gone. Now, if I trust God, I set it aside. The guilt, the remorse, the sorrow, the consequences, all of that is set aside because the blood of Christ took care of that. And now, yeah, there's going to be some consequences where we're going to reap what we sow. But we don't have to live in, what do we stew in, our own guilt. We allow ourselves to just reach a level of anguish sometimes. And you know something? That takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of energy to go through stress day after day. Just, I mean, that's where heart disease, I mean, there. If you were to Google or look at what stress does to the human body, and as Christians, we could have more stress than anyone else because we're carrying a lot more than anyone else. So again, as I say, and I just want to emphasize this one more time, these are the tools to let peace arbitrate or be the umpire. And Brethren, if we don't utilize these tools, we're going to find ourselves tossed to and fro and carried about by whatever happened yesterday and whatever happened and whatever our mind wants to dredge up. So let's go back to this verse now. Therefore, having been. Now there's another tense. This is the perfect tense. An action that occurred in the past and the effects of that action have continued right up to the present moment. And so I was justified when I was baptized. I have been justified day after day after day after day since then. Look at what Paul says. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Last couple of verses of Romans chapter 4 where Paul actually says that the fact that Abraham's faith was reckoned to him for righteousness was not just written for him alone. Just like Paul was a chief of sinners, it wasn't just written for him, it was written for all of us who would live thereafter. Now, if we look at Romans chapter 4, verse 23, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And every time we take the Lord's Supper, we do that. We do it properly. And we're justified by faith. Why? Because we believe in God. We believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our transgressions or because of our offenses. Now, if we don't know what that means, look at verse 6 of chapter 5. When we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love to us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So having been justified by faith, again, we're in this box and we're safe because the peace of God, we don't have to worry about the past. Lay aside those weights. He will forgive and we don't have to worry about tomorrow. So having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Through whom also, verse 2, we have access by faith into this grace. Now that access, day after day after day, go back to that box, that access. We live in the present moment. We sin. Access into this grace, which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. If we live in the present moment and we are asking for forgiveness every moment, we don't have anything to worry about. We're more than conquerors. And we need to understand that. I mean, we could go to Romans chapter 8 and talk about how neither death nor life nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So grace and peace are multiplied in your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is where we really need to grow. We need to grow in our peace by our comfort and our understanding of the grace, the mercy, and the compassion of God. He knows. He's been watching man since the very beginning. And we are a race plagued with problems and difficulties and inconsistencies. I've used Peter before as an example of how the Lord called him a rock, and then he spent the rest of his time proving that Jesus was wrong by all the things that he did, and yet Jesus wasn't wrong. It just took him a while to grow into that. And as he was growing into it, he had to set aside that denial. He had to set aside sinking in the water. He had to set aside God rebuking him and saying, "This is my beloved Son. Forget about Moses, forget about Elijah, this is my beloved Son." And then when he writes 2 Peter, he uses that very rebuke as the reason why his faith is now so strong. So grace and peace are multiplied to you in the knowledge. So peace is the umpire. Write these verses down, memorize them, you need them. We're going to have peace arbitrating and ruling in our hearts and keeping these emotions at bay and helping us to feel good about ourselves and feel safe. There's nothing like feeling safe. That is such a comfortable feeling. And it doesn't, just because we just baptized somebody and we're just so happy because we did some one wonderful thing, that's not why we're saved. We're saved because of the grace of God. Now, it's nice to have those works. And James said, I can show you my faith by my works. And I like to have them, and they're comforting. But I have a lot of them. Sometimes I go back in my mind and say to myself, if I'd only known then what I know now. You ever think like that? If I'd only known then. I have so many regrets. I could have done so much better. And then I think to myself, hey, look where you are now. And I don't know which one of those things got you here, but we better not go back and tinker with anything, because this is where we are now. And I think Paul's the same situation. Sure, he'd like to go back. But as he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I labor more than all of them because of the grace that is in me. So when we're struggling, let's go back to that box and let's remember that he can keep us in perfect peace only if we trust him. He's the one who said, lay aside the weights and don't worry about the past and forget what lies behind. He's the one who said, I'll never forget, I'll never remember your sins, I'll blot them out, I'll remove them. And he's the one, or Jesus is the one who said, don't worry about tomorrow. And if I can't do that, then that next one, then I need to stop and I need to say to myself, Father, forgive me and help me to forgive myself. Forgive me and help me to forget. Because this is not beneficial to me. It's not helping me to be a good servant. And it's not manifesting the kind of faith that we ought to have. So if we don't have peace, that's where we need to look. Now, that's the first. We could spend more time. I don't know that I will, but we could spend more time with Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. Where he says, be not anxious for your life, and don't be anxious for your food, and don't be anxious. In other words, there's other reasons that people need peace to become their umpire. But I think these are the most important things. And if we can get these in order, the rest of this stuff's going to fall into place. Because when you deal with the hard stuff, the easy stuff becomes a whole lot easier. If you can trust God that he's forgiven us, and that he wants us to be with him in heaven, it's not real tough, as Jesus said. If he's done all that, don't you think that he will take care of your physical needs, oh, you of little faith? And again, it comes back to Isaiah. You will keep him in perfect peace because his heart is stayed on you and he trusts you. That's where the peace of God is going to come from, is our trust in the things that he said. And sometimes it's those very things that we struggle to believe. Everybody else, but not me. As we pick up our songbooks and we look at the song of encouragement this evening, some of us need to feel this guilt. Some of us need to feel this remorse because we haven't repented and confessed yet. Sometimes, and it's amazing to me that this would be the case, but sometimes we don't repent because we're afraid that people will find out. Because it's already been done, and they may already know. You know, it's funny how these kind of things, your sins will find you out. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you have sin that you haven't confessed, either publicly or privately, that's what these emotions are for, and that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to move us to make some decisions, then we leave them aside, just like all other tools. So if we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand and sing this song.